Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Time now for everybody up there to put their feet up, unless you're driving, for Tuesdays with Neil. Welcome.
The most impactful Tuesdays with Neil we've seen yet. Because I don't think we've had a Tuesday following a draft that was as high in enjoyment as this one was. And I understand full well the hyperbole that's behind such a statement, but I don't think anybody in the audience that's listened to me would accuse me of being overly optimistic about the Steelers, by and large. But even I'll say that draft went better than anyone that I have seen, certainly in my professional lifetime, as somebody who was born after 1974, maybe the best that I've been alive for. And it's all on paper. It's, you know, they're not out there in the field and blah, 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 all that. But, wow, that really could not have gone any better. It's a great day. I think that we're seeing a shift in the recent fortune of the franchise now. I mean, there's a lot of things that need to still come together, but that's a big class. There's a lot of talent in what they brought in.
So let's start at the top, Neil, because I thought the order with which they did the top was intelligent by getting Broderick Jones first, then Joey Porter, because even if it wasn't Porter, they were still going to get a really good corner somewhere. What did you think just about the sequencing of it?
Yeah, as you've heard me say, and I don't want to disparage him, I really didn't think Joey Porter Jr. is worth the 17th overall pick. I'm not surprised he was available at 32. Might be a little bit lower, but really you're splitting hairs at that point. You can't say that a guy isn't worth 27, but he is worth 31. You know, there's kind of a range thing. You look at the middle of the draft. Call the middle of the draft. I don't think Porter has been worth that to me, in my mind. Jones, on the other hand, definitely would not have gone lower than 14 or 15. That was even maybe a little bit of a slide. With a surprise pick or two ahead of him. But you're looking at a tackle, I mean, just by all given measurements and standards, a guy that was born to play offensive tackle. I mean, he's got the look of the new uber-athletic edge defender, edge protector. He's high cut, which is not normal for an offensive lineman, but he's got excellent athletic balance. It's something he hasn't put together yet in pass protection. But he's a mauler in the run game. I mean, he's mean. Getting a guy like him with the enormous upside potential that he has at the price of a fourth-round pick that the Patriots are happy to oblige despite the Jets, who absolutely would have taken him at 15, it really speaks volumes to the awareness I think the Steelers had, not just positionally. If we're going back to Mike Tomlin laughably saying the team didn't have any glaring holes, well, they just traded up to 14 to address one of the non-holes that they have. The awareness of what they had going into this draft, who was available, what they would need to do to get a player of substance for them and not just sit back and do the cliche, which is what everyone prized Kevin Colbert for doing, but let the draft come to them. They got aggressive and they went and got a player with all the potential in the world to be a foundational member of this team for a lot of years. And he's got, I dare to say, more potential than any offensive tackle that this team has drafted in my lifetime, for sure. It's the first one they've drafted in a long time. If they're going to wait, you have to kind of think that they're waiting for this type of a prospect. And I think Jones is absolutely that. An excellent decision all around, the right move at the right time, and you kind of had a sense they were going to try to get that pick back to some degree, whatever it is that they needed to do. They wanted to keep the stockpile of picks that they had as intact as possible in the effort to rebuild a kind of a thin roster, much more strengthened now. But at the time, they had a couple holes they needed to fill more long term, and they were able to do that.
And then they get Porter at 32, which I think you feel is the appropriate spot for him to get picked. And I think he goes into a nice situation with Patrick Peterson around and the fact that they needed one anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from the cornerback perspective, I felt was the whole thing. I'll be honest with you. When they went on the clock, when they traded up, I assumed it was for Gonzalez. Christian Gonzalez is a cornerback out of Oregon. I really like his game. If we're deciding between the two, I will say this. If it were me, I probably would have taken Gonzalez for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not upset with it being Jones. That's a nice problem to have. If you're deciding between those two, I might go a different way, but I see why they did it, and it's still a good choice. Witherspoon and Gonzalez were clearly, in my opinion, the top two cornerbacks in this draft. I thought Porter might have got passed over. The kid from Mississippi State, or Foley, I forget his name, but he's not. I think Porter's a better prospect.
He's okay. I think Porter's, with all due respect, Porter's a better prospect than Deontay Banks. So,
yeah, that's fair.
And I'm saying that firsthand, watching Banks. I did three of his games. And Porter, I mean, that's when the Giants had a terrific draft on paper. That was not the best pick there.
It's interesting. Wink Martindale spoke extensively about how much they liked Banks doing the things that he does. And that's kind of the cornerback position, too. You know, it's hard when you get past the top 10, top 13 or so. It's hard to say this prospect is clearly better than this prospect in that same mid-level bucket without giving heavy credence to the style in which you're going to use that cornerback.
Right.
You use them all very differently.
I understand.
To me,
that.
I think Porter is better all around.
Yeah, but I Jack Hamm and I talked before the draft on Thursday. So it was Thursday afternoon. And Jack said, "Can you believe that guy is up in the first round area?" And I said, "No, I can't." And neither one of us could recall a single play we saw him make in 3 years. I'm serious.
I heard that from a couple people.
The two of us sat there, and we did three of his games. Plus, that includes, remember, us watching video going into the game just to get a feel for personnel. Neither one of us can remember a play he made.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. The film that I saw of him wasn't playmaking film either, as we would say.
Right.
You saw that with Porter, and I think that's the advantage that he has. I would imagine if you want to put him side by side, the lesser amount of people would be on Team Banks, but those people would probably say something to the effect of Banks has smoother hips, he can roll. And you probably run and cover larger swatches if that's the kind of defense you're going to play.
Sure.
And in what the Steelers run, what we've seen them run, let's just say that, because we have every indication
right.
to believe they're probably going to play more of a press coverage in the upcoming season, maybe beyond. For what we have seen them play, Porter fits better, in my opinion, and he
Agreed.
Gets his hand on the ball more often.
Agreed.
That's not even a question. So I love the idea that they would take the pure prospect to trade up to get him at 14. We'll never know what they would do at 17. Maybe it was Porter mm-hmm. 17. I'm sure they'll tell us it was, but we won't know. Jones would not have made it to 17. So there's
right.
value in that. For Porter to come
yep.
available, to send up the idea that, well, we're exploring all trades, which is, you know, what you do if you're in that spot. I think they telegraphed it pretty well that they were royally excited when 31 went off the board, the last pick of the first round, knowing that they
yeah.
had control over Porter or
That's
somebody
right.
trading up a fortune for
That's right.
Our buddy Will Levis at the
That's,
top
that's right.
Too.
That's right.
Which, by the way, yeah, okay, yeah, I know a lot of people were calling me after that. Will Levis top five always kind of made me laugh. I didn't talk to anybody that really thought that was going to be the case. You know, I don't know if anybody saw him fall into the second round, but I'm not surprised by that either.
Well, let me tell you this way: when Richardson was picked at four, and then let's see, and they took Skoronski at what, seven? That sound right?
11.
Skoronski at 11.
I took him at 11.
11. I knew he wasn't going to be a first round pick. And the reason is, unless there was a trade, which one of those teams from 12 to 31 was going to pick a quarterback?
Nope. I mean,
you have to apply some common sense when you do this. You just can't keep rooting for a guy to go someplace. There's got to be a landing spot that where the team needs it. Well, from 12 to 31, nobody needed it, and I think that I mean, that's how I looked at it.
Yeah, and that's the quarterback market. It's kind of the underside of it that we don't talk about much. It's funny because both of these statements are true. The NFL does not. The NFL has a certain amount of high level, highly accomplished quarterbacks, and there is a very bleak mid to low range in terms of production and talent. At the same time, though, only four or five teams on the higher end are going to want to draft a quarterback.
That's
going
right.
into any draft. It speaks to the carryover of, you know, rookie kind of getting into to, you know, the flow of things in his career, figuring out what to do. Maybe it's a third year guy. Maybe they just signed somebody and are not looking to draft somebody that high. But the opportunity wasn't there, barring a trade. And that's ultimately what it comes down to. You get him in the top five, or you have to give up more in you know, total number of assets in order to get him after the guy fell through the top five. And my thought was, I can't imagine there is a coach drafting anywhere that would want Will Levis over Anthony Richardson. I can't see that. If they're playing a game tomorrow, Levis might be the choice that you've had. 2 years from now, it's really hard to see if that's not going to be the case. And everybody will throw, for their own various reasons, Malik Willis into that conversation. Anthony Richardson is twice the player Malik Willis was. I mean, it's not even close. He's not that far off. He's got, you know, there are issues to his game, but you know, there's the issues of all of them. I can pick apart C.J. Stroud. I can pick apart Bryce Young, although Young is, I think, a lot closer than the other ones are. Mm-hmm. But Richardson, if he puts all of that together, the guy's a nightmare. I mean, there's nothing that he physically can't do. He just needs to learn how to do everything a little bit better. You know, he's got that runway, and time is ultimately the issue. With Levis, what's he really going to improve on? I mean, he's got a nice arm, but it's not like overpowering to the point where you could dictate your entire offense based on arm strength. He's not going to run nothing but 15 to 18 yard outs in everything that he does. He's a college athlete. He's not an NFL open field runner, and nobody can convince me otherwise because they always try to say this. Whenever the prospect's highlights are him running the ball and he plays quarterback, you have to kind of wonder, you know, the best plays he made are on the ground. It's not really what I'm drafting him for. What can he do particularly well? And I don't know if that's there for him as a pro. To me, it's, you need a plus reason to want to take him in round one. Otherwise, to me, it's reasonable to say he's a second-round guy. That doesn't mean that he's a joke. It doesn't mean that he's not going to be able to do anything. But I don't know how great his ceiling is. When I look at Richardson, he's a first overall ceiling. And his bottom, I thought, always was four overall. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Draft is more than just two rounds. It's seven. What did the Steelers do in other rounds that fit the team, but also fit what has the potential to be a terrific draft?
They did. We get past Porter. Their next two picks, it's comical to me in a way because one was so quintessential Steelers, and the other is so not Steelers. It really brackets themselves well. Everything about... You watch him play. You have great insight on this as well. He's a sit-and-throw guy. He's a gap penetrator. he's a Steelers defensive lineman. And it's yep. almost sad in a way with John Mitchell retiring. He's not going to work with this kid because he's the type of guy Mitch absolutely loves. Physically, he's imposing, very quick off the snap. If anything, you look at it in terms of overall value of role in the NFL. That's why this kid is a second-round draft pick. Other, as far as talent goes, he's going to make an impact because he's a really good football player. He just might not be a three-down guy immediately. So he really kind of fits a certain definition of a round-two pick. And even then, I think he fell a little bit more than you thought he would have. But he's a really good player, an excellent pick. The second the Steelers went on the clock and pretty much turned in the card right away, I knew it was going to be him. He's too perfect for him. I didn't think he'd
really
make it this far. Yeah, great pick.
Really, I mean, big, strong, active. I mean, he's got terrific hands, a lot of things you love.
Active is a great way to put it, you know, and that's really what it's all about. It's funny because Fiocco, the kid they signed from the Chargers, is a lot like that. He's not the athlete that Benton is, but you're looking at a 1-2 probably inside defensive tackles to you know, rotate around and build up with. They've suddenly got some pretty impressive depth on that defensive line. They're going to cut a good defensive lineman this year. It's a testament to sticking to what they do. They've emphasized the position. They've drafted it pretty reasonably high lately, and they added to it in free agency the last couple of years. You know, they brought in Montrevious Adams after they had brought in Tyson Alualu. The Fiocco guy now, three draft picks the last 3 years, Loudermilk, DeMarvin Leal last year, and now Benton. They have depth. You know, they're going to be able to work those positions very well. But for me, I think that probably the biggest sense of confidence fans should get in the direction of this team is the fact that one reason or another, when a player like Washington falls to the third round, whether the injury or not, the versatility that guy I understand that the general lack of pleasure people find in Matt Canada. Any NFL-level offensive coordinator, if they didn't stay up half that night drawing up stuff they're going to be able to do with that guy on the field. Yep. He is legitimately one of the most unique players I think they've ever brought in.
Yep.
I mean, you realize he's a pretty one diet away from being a decent-sized NFL tackle.
Yep.
Plus, athletes aren't made like that. I mean, this is like a Julius Peppers-type comparison, fairly.
Yeah, you're right.
You watch him move in space. It's incredible how quick he is, how nimble he is, for how big and how long-limbed he is. He catches the ball very well.
He would be a college basketball power forward.
To be honest with you, the first thing I said, how did this guy not play basketball? I mean, he had to have been a pretty good basketball player. It's just me. But 12 personnel, you put him and Pat Freiermuth out on the field together in an RPO like Canada has been trying to implement. It put Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, and Najee Harris on the field. I'm not saying that all these players are all pros. I'm saying, though, that they will all play those specific positions very well for that kind of an offense.
And the trigger man
is Pickett. If Pickett can know what to do in each of these situations, they're going to be tough to stop. That's not going to be easy.
And by the way, don't fall asleep on Nick Herbig, the fourth-round pick out of Wisconsin as an outside linebacker. Nick, I mean, Neil, we got to run, but again, I think Herbig was a really good fourth-round pick, so he'll make the team. Neil, as always, thank you so much. It's always wonderful to put the shoes up on the desk and enjoy Tuesdays with Neil.
We'll take him back this week. Thanks for having me, guys.